What's going on, everyone? Welcome back inside the Locked On Bucks podcast. Happy Friday to everybody out there. I am your host for today's episode, David Harrison. My normal partner in crime, James Yarko, is sick, so we're going to have to do this one without him, unfortunately. But you can expect him to be back next week for our next episode. Hopefully, we have some big free agent signings to talk about, but we'll get to that here in a minute. You can find me on Twitter at DH82_Bucks. Go ahead and find James at JYarko_Bucks. And you can also find him at The Pewter Plank on Twitter, where he mans our Twitter account for ThePewterPlank.com, which is part of the FanSided Network, where James and I are co-experts for the Buccaneers blog over there. We've got a great staff of writers, so if you have time after you listen to this, maybe head over there and read some of the stuff we're doing over there. I think you'll be happy. And then roll back over to Twitter and let James know what you think by hitting him up on the Pewter Plank's Twitter feed there. You can find me at my personal one, which I gave you, and you can also find me at the Locked On Bucks Twitter account. It's just at Locked On Bucks. I man that one, not nearly as well as James does, admittedly, but I do man it, and I think I'm getting better. So go on over to any of those areas, find out what we're doing. We have lots of stuff for you. Try to keep it varied up and interesting as much as we can without getting too crazy about things. So today's episode, I'll tell you what, this offseason has been pretty interesting, despite the fact that the Buccaneers really haven't done a whole lot of stuff. A lot of things going on around the NFL, around the league, that are going to affect the Bucs, of course, as the course of the 2018 season, even the future, moves forward. We're going to talk about some of the latest reports coming out across the league. We're also going to talk about some news that came out about the Buccaneers. They didn't do anything quite yet, but some news broke that they're going to be doing something real soon. That's going to have some repercussions as well. And then to wrap up today's episode, we're also going to talk about an interesting little interaction that James had Wednesday, as it were, with former Buccaneers defensive tackle Chris Baker. So don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on the Locked On Bucks podcast. All right, guys, so getting straight into it, probably the biggest thing that came out today, Adam Schefter, if you don't follow Adam Schefter on Twitter, then you need to. If you don't have a Twitter, just sign up for Twitter. Follow Adam Schefter. Of course, follow me, James the Pewter Plank, and the Locked On Bucks podcast. But also follow Adam Schefter because that man is killing it out there. And he was one of many, but one of the early ones to report that the Denver Broncos are trading cornerback Aqib Talib to the Los Angeles Rams for a fifth-round draft pick. Now, Bucks fans have been wanting to see Aqib Talib reunite in Tampa with guys like Gerald McCoy, Lavonte David, all those guys. And Gerald McCoy has even gone on his own social media accounts and kind of rallied for Talib to come back to Tampa. Great idea, you know, on paper and all that stuff, but it wasn't in the cards. And honestly, it really wasn't in the cards because Aqib Talib didn't want it to be in the cards. But more on that here in a second. What was interesting, though, some of the follow-on tweets from Adam Schefter is that the Los Angeles Rams, who once they got Marcus Peters, I think we pretty much all assumed that their time with Tremaine Johnson was coming to an end. Tremaine Johnson is going to demand a lot of money in free agency. They obviously didn't want to pay that kind of money and wanted to see if they could secure their cornerback positions outside of re-signing Tremaine Johnson to a hefty price tag. And they've done a pretty good job. So as Schefter pointed out on his Twitter account again, Tremaine Johnson made $16.7 million last season. Now, I don't think he's going to get that much per season, per year in his new contract, whoever he signs with, hopefully Tampa. But still, pretty heavy price tag, right? Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, according to Adam Schefter, are going to make a combined $12.7 million in 2018. So they got two, you know, all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber type players for less money than they paid Tremaine Johnson for in 2017. So some expert-level general managing going on there. And I know Jason Light has been catching a lot of flack from the Buccaneers fan base and some of the media outlets and all that stuff. And maybe, you know, maybe some of it's warranted. I don't know. I don't know what's happening inside the building. I'm sure the man is working, trying to earn every dollar that he gets. But for this one, especially, we need to lay off of him a little bit, my fellow Bucs fans, because reports came out. Aqib Talib wanted to play in L.A. for Wade Phillips, or he wanted to go back to New England and play for Bill Belichick. Tampa's on that list, you know, and I don't know if Aqib really had more than two teams on his list in general, or if it was like two teams in tier one and then there was a tier two and so on and so forth. I don't know where Tampa would have sat in that. Maybe we'll find that out someday. I doubt that we will, but I guess it's possible. Reports came out that the 49ers were also talking with Denver about potentially making a deal for Aqib there. That obviously didn't happen, but maybe we lay off Jason Light on this one. If Aqib Talib didn't want to come to Tampa, then it probably wasn't going to happen in the first place. I don't think the Bucs were really all that interested in trading for him. I think they're more looking for him to possibly get released, which is, there were reports again earlier that he wanted to be released. But again, even if he got released, he wanted to go back to New England, or he wanted to play in Los Angeles for the Rams. So it really did not look like, you know, the Buccaneers were in the mix for Aqib Talib this year, no matter what Gerald McCoy tried to do on his Twitter account. So, but continuing on, just real quick about the Rams. Again, not trying to make Bucs fans jealous about what the Rams have done. I think most of us, or most of you guys probably already are, but Aqib Talib, Sam Shields, and Marcus Peters have all been added to the Rams defense here. Well, not unofficially added, right? Nothing goes official till next week, but unofficially, they've added Talib, Shields, and Peters to their secondary. Great moves by the Rams, and you know, they're actually coming out better financially, it would seem, for the talent they have on their roster. So amazing job by the Rams over there. Kudos to them. It's gonna be interesting to see what they can put together. But you know, this isn't a Rams podcast, so we'll get on with it. So looking at the trades that are going on in the NFL, or the ones that are gonna go final here pretty quick in the next week or so. So now we're up to Alex Smith, obviously headed to Washington. Marcus Peters headed to the Rams. Robert Quinn from the Rams to the Dolphins, which we'll talk a little bit more about here in a second. Michael Bennett, former Buccaneer, now former Seahawk, headed to the Eagles. Alec Ogletree, another former Ram linebacker, headed to the New York Giants. And then Aqib Talib, which we just talked about. So going back to Robert Quinn, and you know, like I said, talking about kind of laying off Jason Light here for a minute. I know a lot of you guys out there were really frustrated when the Buccaneers didn't land Robert Quinn. And at first, there were a lot of questions about, you know, did Jason even go after him? Did he even, you know, sniff the tree around him or anything like that? And reports obviously came out that they did make an offer. The Rams elected to send him to Miami instead. I said it at the time. I'm going to say it again now. This is kind of where I hold firm. No inside information whatsoever. All speculation on my part. But I don't think the Rams wanted to keep Robert Quinn in the NFC, especially sending him to a team that has playoff aspirations. I know the Buccaneers only won 5 games last year, but if we look at the Buccaneers roster and we feel like this is a team that has the talent to potentially make a playoff push, right? Potentially make a push. That's all I'm saying. Then adding a guy like Robert Quinn only makes that possibility a little bit better, right? So if the Rams agree, if the Rams look at the Buccaneers roster and say, you know what, there's some talented guys on that roster, giving them a guy like Robert Quinn only makes them a little bit better and makes them a little bit more of a threat to us, then it makes sense for them to send him to Miami, especially unless the Bucs were willing to jump to like a third round draft pick trade. And I'm sorry, but that would have just been craziness, okay? However, Tom Bassinger, sorry, Tom, if I'm butchering that. I said it 3 times, so I'm sure at least 2 of them were wrong. He really, you know, he really hit the nail on the head. He wrote an article there for the Tampa Bay Times. If you haven't seen it, go ahead and check it out. I just tweeted it a little bit before I started recording tonight, Thursday night for this episode. If you haven't read it, check it out. It's pretty good, pretty solid work by Tom there. So kudos to him. Shout out to him. But 3 points that he made in his article that I really wanted to hit on here tonight, or today with you guys, is, the first one is Rams defense coordinator Wade Phillips knows what he's doing. That's the subheading in Tom's article there. And I hadn't really thought about it that way, but he's 100% right. Wade Phillips has been around the game for a long, long time. Like, he's one of those guys where you can say he's forgotten more about football, especially defense, than I will ever learn in my entire life. And I can say that with absolute confidence. So if Wade Phillips doesn't want you, there's a reason for it. And it may not be that Wade Phillips thinks Robert Quinn is necessarily a bad player. He's not what he used to be. He's not going to be what he used to be. 2017 was you know, kind of an up and down year, you know, I would say. He had some injury filled years before that. Guys, Robert Quinn's played 33% of the games possible in the last 3 seasons, and he's not exactly young and able to bounce back anymore. So a lot of risk involved with trading for a guy like Quinn that the Dolphins obviously felt was worth bringing on, even, and the Buccaneers felt like it was worth taking on some of that risk for the price of a fourth-round draft pick. The Dolphins decided it was a fourth and swap in sixth. I don't know if the Rams said, hey, here's what the Dolphins offered us. Jason, do you want to match it? And Jason said, no, thanks. You know, have a good night. I don't know how that went down. But anything over a fourth for the risk that you're taking on with Robert Quinn and the money that you're incurring, the salary cap penalty, or not penalties, but the weight that you're incurring by bringing him on, not worth it, guys. So, but very good point there with Wade Phillips. I mean, Wade Phillips has a long career for a reason. The guy knows what he's doing. He also mentioned, Tom did, to monitor the Vinnie Curry situation. With the Eagles getting Michael Bennett there from the Seahawks, that kind of makes Vinnie Curry's status there in Philly a little bit shaky. I would expect at least a contract renegotiation or restructuring, if not just a flat-out release or trade from the Eagles for one of their guys. Curry's not a guy I've really looked into all that much this offseason. He's not a guy I really associate with the Buccaneers as far as a potential target, but something interesting to watch and just kind of see how that develops. So definitely a good look out there from Tom. And then something he mentioned in his article is something that James and I have said here on the Locked On Bucks podcast, and something that I've written about specifically over at the Pewter Plank. Add two defensive ends in free agency. I know we're all on the Bradley Chubb train. I got it. Believe me, if they get him at the seventh pick overall, I'll be happy just like all of you guys will. But this team needs as many I'm going to take a Mike Mayock saying, right? They need as many bites as the apple as they can get. And the two guys that I have in mind, I've said this before, so it may not be new, Coney Ealy and Aaron Lynch. I got it. Both of them have underperformed. Both of them have had very, very steep declines after some earlier successes in their careers. They both still have talent. They're both healthy guys. I think they're both young enough and talented enough that as rotational pieces, they could really come in and help the Buccaneers' defensive line and their pass rush specifically. And what Tom alluded to in his article was developing a rotational roster where you can take your left end, your right end, and you can put pieces in play by play as you need them. Obviously, if you can get an established starter and just keep that guy in there, that's obviously the best way to do it. What are the chances that's really going to happen? There's no Ezekiel Ansah out there on the free agent market anymore. Bradley Chubb is a top prospect in the draft. There's no guarantee they're going to even get him. If they do, I mean, guys, top picks have busted before, right? So there's nothing that says Bradley Chubb can't bust. There's no guarantees out there. So if you bring in Bradley Chubb, you've already got Will Golston, who, you know, maybe he'll get a little bit better. He's a run guy. I got it. But maybe he'll get a little better in his pass rush ability. Noah Spence is hopefully going to be healthier. Robert Ayers, you know, who knows what bringing in Coach Buckner is going to do for his career. Maybe we see a rejuvenation there. I like Will Clark. I know, you know, he's a little bit lesser known, but I kind of like him. I like what he brings to the table. So I really hope the Bucks bring him back as well. But then you add a Coney Ealy, you add Aaron Lynch in there. I mean, that's a good rotational stable. And I don't know. I feel like you have to – eventually someone's going to separate themselves from the pack, right, out of that group. Hopefully. For the love of everything that keeps us sane, right? Hopefully. But that's pretty much all we're going to cover there. Actually, one last thing I did want to talk about. So Greg Rosenthal sent a tweet out yesterday, as you're listening to this, right, that Tyrann Mathieu has said that he and his agent spoke with the Cardinals, and they have officially asked him to take a pay cut. That right there is kind of the move that most of us have been identifying as the first domino to fall, which would possibly lead the Honey Badger to become a free agent. And so it's fallen. So that first domino has fallen. So now, you know, things are in motion. And, you know, so something to monitor there with Tyrann Mathieu, as a lot of Bucks fans have kind of dreamt about him coming to Tampa from Arizona. So that is actually going to wrap up here our first segment about some of the most up-to-date news. Again, this is David Harrison. You're here with me on the Locked On Bucks podcast. Don't go away. Coming up right here after this little break, we're going to talk about something that happened with the Buccaneers today, and we're going to talk about something that happened with a former Buccaneer yesterday. All right, guys, welcome back. Once again, David Harrison here for the Locked On Bucks podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at DHA2_Bucks. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bucks. My partner, who is not here tonight, James Yarko, is at JYarko_Bucks. And, of course, we both write and manage thepewterplank.com. You can find that on Twitter as well. The Pewter Plank is all you got to search there. So, some news came out today. The Buccaneers have not made a move, but they are going to make a move or they've made a move. I don't know if it's official that I don't know if ink has been put on paper yet, but it's happening. Ian Rappaport is the first guy that I saw reported, so I'm gonna give him credit. If somebody had it first, I apologize. But Ian Rappaport is the first guy I saw with it that Ryan Fitzpatrick is coming back. Fitzmagic is coming back to the Bay. Interesting move, right? I don't know if a lot of people expected it. You know, I don't know if a lot of people expected him to come back. He did say that he was interested in coming back, but I think a lot of people expected the Buccaneers to either go forward with Ryan Griffin or possibly draft a guy, or even, you know, go in the free agent pool and bring back Mike Glennon. That's been a word on the streets there. So this move does a few things. Obviously, it secures a veteran presence for 2018 in the quarterback room, which is always a plus. Ryan Fitzpatrick in 2017 played in five games. I mean, technically he played in six games, but Chicago doesn't really count. So played in five games, really started three of them, won two of them. Not a bad 2017 when you put it all in perspective. But, you know, just the only part that's really kind of a little bit confusing is what's going to happen with Ryan Griffin. And we voiced some frustrations, James and I did, towards the end of last year about why wasn't Ryan Griffin getting in there and getting some snaps and getting on the field in a regular season game to show the team, show, you know, the league potentially what he could do. Especially moving forward, you want a younger guy, usually, typically, right? So I don't know. This kind of makes me feel like they don't really have a lot of confidence in him. Maybe they just want to continue the competition and see if Ryan responds to it. There's a lot of leaps that could be made from this news. But the bottom line is the Buccaneers are making sure they're securing the back end of their quarterback depth chart, which is always a good thing. I know it's not the main priority. It's not the biggest, sexiest thing that's going to happen this offseason, hopefully. But it is still important. So, again, Jason Light's been working. The Buccaneers have been working. So, good to see Ryan Fitzpatrick apparently coming back for 2018. It also means that Mike Glennon, you know, he's probably looking elsewhere for a job, maybe Miami or, I don't know, Cleveland, of course, is always an option for quarterbacks. Who knows? Maybe he goes out to San Francisco and backs up Jimmy G out there. But I doubt seriously that the Buccaneers bring Mike Glennon back after bringing back Ryan Fitzpatrick and having Ryan Griffin in there. I'll tell you right now, if the Buccaneers bring Mike Glennon and Ryan Fitzpatrick in, Ryan Griffin's as good as gone. So that'll be all that. So a little bit of Bucs news, right? Hopefully we get more in the next few days, and obviously in the early stages of free agency, we all hope that there's some significant action happening out at One Buc Place. But something of interest that took place yesterday for me as I'm recording this, 2 days ago for you as you're listening to this, or even later, depending on when you're listening to this, is Chris Baker. Chris Baker, Swaggy, you know, was released by the Bucs earlier this offseason, signed a one-year prove-it deal with the Cincinnati Bengals earlier this week. James Yarko, who manages our Pewter Plank Twitter account, sent him a nice little note on Twitter, just said, hey, see you this fall. As the Buccaneers travel to Cincinnati, James and I do have every intention of being at that game. So, you know, just a little bit of a, hey, you know, we'll see you there type of thing. And Swaggy went ahead and responded with, I think, four middle finger emojis. So, you know, no love lost there. I don't think James meant anything by it. I think it was just pretty kind of just a funny occurrence that happened there. James obviously didn't take the emojis personally or to heart either. I doubt seriously that Chris Baker lost any sleep about it. But, you know, I mean, we haven't been shy, just like most people haven't been shy about the disappointment that Chris Baker was in 2017. And, I mean, he has to be disappointed in his own performance. I would hope that, you know, any grown person with any type of profession would want to perform better, relatively speaking, than he did in 2017, especially after getting the money that he was brought in for. So, you know, it is what it is. He's moving on. We're moving on. And, you know, that's going to be the end of that. You know, just to go out there and emphasize, you know, it wasn't a personal attack by any means or anything like that. I know James, his son, actually got an autograph from Chris Baker during the preseason last year. And I know Brent Allen, who, as you all know, probably the host of the Pewter Cast and contributor over at the Pewter Plank, also had a running in with him earlier this offseason, said he was a nice person, very personable, down-to-earth human being. So, Chris, I doubt you listen to this, but if you do, or someone who knows you does, you know, we wish you all the best. I can't speak for everybody, of course, but I don't think there's any animosity really harbored from this end of the spectrum. So good luck to you, sir. And then before we get out of here, just going to kind of touch on something real quick. We'll probably get into a little bit deeper here in the coming days, unless rumors break otherwise. But the Titans, it's been reported that the Titans are releasing DeMarco Murray. I don't know if they've officially released him as of right now, but they are every sign is pointing to DeMarco Murray being a free agent. A little bit surprised. I didn't really think Derrick Henry was ready to take the full-time reins in Tennessee, but I think perhaps this actually shows more that the Titans are probably planning on picking a running back in the first three rounds, kind of trying to put together a Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara system. It's a copycat league. The Saints had a whole lot of success with Ingram and Kamara. So, the Titans kind of already have their Ingram there and Derrick Henry. I think Henry's a little bit more versatile than Ingram is, but, you know, to each his own. But they're probably going to go out there and try to draft a guy in, maybe the second or third round there to complement Henry and help out Marcus Mariota as they continue to do things there. But interesting development here late tonight, DeMarco Murray being released. So, yeah, let us know what you think of that, and we'll kind of keep our eye on that situation. And James and I will certainly make sure that we touch on that, unless between now and then we find out that he's being signed by, somebody else. But that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. Again, happy Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks for joining us here on the Locked On Bucks podcast for the last time today, this week. My name is David Harrison. Have a good one. You know it ain't no stopping all the dogs I'm dropping. It's Friday night, so everything is popping. I got skin to spin on the hand, so let the games begin. Yakety yak, don't talk back or it's on. Calling up girl on the car phone, you know how we do it. Living like stars, might hit the highway on the Vegas run. Boom, cause it's Friday. Oh yeah, throw your neighborhood in the air if you don't care. Oh yeah, throw your neighborhood in the air if you don't care. Standing outside on the